Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
We're going to talk about key themes in Pride and Prejudice during this particular program. Of course, we're going to be talking about marriage and courting, which is an old-fashioned word for the dating that we do nowadays. Courting, that sounds so old-fashioned. But things were different then. Back in the 1800s, a guy and a girl really couldn't be alone very much. They had to be chauffeured. Or chaperoned, I should say. If you have a chaperone, it's an adult who just is, you know, standing by, sitting by, watching that you behave. There were a lot of social rules that you had to follow, especially in this society, of course, because it was all about your reputation. You had to have a good reputation and not bring shame on the family. So we're going to talk about what it was like back then for these people.
Yes, these are some of the themes in Pride and Prejudice we're going to be talking about today. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's listen to the lesson for today about Pride and Prejudice. We'll have it read in its entirety right now.
A key theme in Pride and Prejudice is marriage. In the early 19th century, women were dependent on marriage. If they couldn't find a partner to tie the knot with, they would almost certainly face a bleak future. In many cases, this led women to marry men they didn't love, just to ensure financial security and safe face. This leads into another important theme, reputation. In those days, women were required to be proper and ladylike at all times. They were also expected to stay within their social circles to avoid embarrassment. For example, Elizabeth loses face after Miss Bingley and her high-class friends see her wearing a muddy skirt in public. In more serious matters, a woman's poor reputation could have far-reaching effects, as in the case of Lydia and Wickham. By openly taking a lover before marriage, Lydia runs the risk of shaming her entire family, not just herself. Perhaps the most important theme of all is love. Although the novel deals with several relationships, Darcy's courtship of Elizabeth takes center stage. Things get off to a rocky start for both of them. Initially, Darcy's pride in his upbringing and Elizabeth's pride in her good judgment lead them to be prejudiced against each other. Elizabeth's pride leads her to believe that Darcy is arrogant, whereas his prejudice against people from lower social classes makes him feel she isn't a suitable match. Yet over the course of the novel, they are drawn together through fate and end up falling in love. Their relationship seems to be Austen's way of saying that true love is magical and can overcome social divisions and anything else that stands in its way.
Okay, one of the reasons you might want to read this book is because it talks about all sorts of different themes, different ideas that, hey, we can still relate to in the modern time. These themes are still alive and well. One of the key themes or the most important themes or ideas in this book is marriage. Yes, people are still getting married. The men still court the women.
Getting married.
Getting married, indeed. So marriage, of course, is a big theme or idea that is discussed in this book.
In the early 19th century, it says women were dependent on marriage. If you're dependent on something or somebody, it means you need that person or thing in order to survive, in order to keep going. A lot of people are dependent on their parents as they grow up. Parents provide money for them, a house, food, clothing, things like that. So you need something in order to survive. Well, women back then were dependent on marriage. They couldn't have jobs outside of the home, so they needed to find a guy who could make a living and take care of them.
Right, and this is often used as the phrase to be dependent on someone. They were dependent on marriage. They couldn't live without it. The state of being married, of course, is marriage. And again, if they couldn't find a partner to tie the knot with, they would face a bleak future. Now, here we have kind of a slang expression to tie the knot with someone, which means basically to get married. So she needed to find a partner, a man who was willing to tie the knot with her, and if those women couldn't find a suitable partner, they would have to probably have a very difficult or bleak future. Bleak just describes a situation. I could describe an area like a desert. It doesn't have vegetation and stuff like that. You could also describe the weather sometimes during the winter as being very bleak, very gray, very cold. But here, bleak means there's not much hope. She's not going to be very happy. She's not going to have a lot of things.
Kind of depressing, huh? So they would really have kind of a sad future to look forward to. Well, in many cases, this led women to marry men they didn't love. They just had to find someone that they could actually settle down with, who would take care of them, provide a home and food for them. They had no money independently. They just needed to marry someone so they could ensure their financial security and also to save face. To ensure is just a word that means to make sure. So it's just a little bit more formal than to say to make sure. And financial means it's related to money. So if you're talking about your financial security, you're talking about money that you need in order to feel safe about the future. Security is freedom from any sort of anxiety or fear or doubt you might have. Some people have security systems in their homes that protect their homes from burglars coming in. So it could be freedom from harm or danger. Here it just means freedom from that nervous feeling, that anxiety that you have when you don't know that things are going to be okay.
Right, security, and of course they would also be able to save face. Face here just refers to your standing in society, I guess your reputation as well. So if you save face, or if you have face, you have a good reputation. People don't look down on you, they're not snobbish. So yes, I guess you would have been looked down on if you were a single woman, if you had not gotten married and did not have financial security. So a lot of women did this to save face so they wouldn't be embarrassed.
This leads into another important theme. We've talked about marriage as one of those themes. Here's the second theme, reputation. Your reputation is what people say about you. It's what they tell their friends they think you're like and how they feel about you. Do they think you're honest? Do they think you're fun? Do they think you're trustworthy? Those all can lead into someone's reputation. Reputation isn't negative or positive, so you have to say good reputation or bad reputation.
Right. I could say that when I was 18 years old, I had a bad reputation. I drove fast cars, I smoked, I drank alcohol and stuff like that. Of course I didn't, but I'm just using that as an example. Actually, I had a good reputation.
Good, Tom.
I had good grades. I was very polite and treated people well. I had, you know, face and stuff like that.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm...
You've been telling me the opposite all these
yes
years.
Yes or no. I mean, in some situations I did, in some situations I didn't.
I'm
but
kidding.
In any case here, that's the other important theme in this novel, reputation, how people see you in society. And in those days, women were required to be proper and ladylike at all times. Goodness me, they couldn't be leaders of punk rock bands or something like that. They had to be proper, and proper means the way things are supposed to be. You have to have a proper job, for example, work in a company and have a proper salary, not working freelance or things like that. So, yes, this would be something that women were required to be. They had to be proper and also ladylike, behave like a woman, wear dresses, don't wear pants.
Yeah, and I would also say here, if they were required to be proper, it means they had to follow the rules of society back then, and they had to do what was considered the right thing to do in order to be seen as behaving well. Ladylike, of course, means you have very good manners, you're always polite, you don't laugh loudly and do things that embarrass your parents. At all times means all the time. You had no breaks. You always had to be very proper and ladylike. You couldn't just go out and, you know, scream, you know, and run around with the boys. That was not proper.
It wasn't, and you had to be ladylike at all times, and they were also expected to stay within their social circles to avoid embarrassment. So, of course, you couldn't be like, Oh, I can't even remember the actress's name in Titanic. You know, she was supposed to hang out with all those rich people, but hey, she wanted to go down with Jack and dance with all the people down in third class there on the Titanic. So in this case, you couldn't cross class lines, I guess. You had to stay within your social circle. Stay with the people you're supposed to be with and don't hang out with people you're not supposed to be with. And that was done to avoid embarrassment. Embarrassment, of course, refers to being self-conscious, having shame. You feel awkward because of something you've done. You could feel embarrassment, for example, if you fart in public, for example. Some people might be very embarrassed if that were to happen to them, but not to me, I can tell you.
No, I was just going to say Tom is never embarrassed if he farts in public. Well, for example, let's give you an example here. Elizabeth loses face after Miss Bingley and her high-class friends see her wearing a muddy skirt in public. Uh-oh. Ooh. See, that's not proper. You can't go out in public with a dirty skirt. If it's muddy, it means it's got wet dirt on it. She had been walking. Elizabeth loves to walk in the fields, and it had been raining, so, of course, her skirt got dirty. Elizabeth didn't care, but when she ran into Miss Bingley and her little snooty or snobby friends, she suddenly was embarrassed because other people saw her. To lose face means, well, you know, you're embarrassed and you lose some of your dignity because other people are kind of making fun of you. They're looking down at you. So that's not a good thing.
It's not. Yes, you should never go out in public with a muddy skirt. That's a big no-no. And in more serious matters, or with the different situations, a woman's poor reputation could have far-reaching effects. Far-reaching means, hey, these things could reach far. They could go into different areas. They could be known by lots of people in different places. So, of course, you have to maintain your reputation so that people will not be able to criticize you and you will have negative effects as a result.
Well, by openly taking a lover before marriage, Lydia, the youngest Bennett daughter, runs the risk of shaming her entire family and not just herself. So your reputation actually affected your family members as well as you. So it was kind of a big deal back then. If you run the risk of something, it just means you put yourself in a position where you might be hurt. It's a very risky thing to do. So you're putting yourself in a dangerous situation. And shaming, if you shame yourself or shame someone, it means you do something that brings embarrassment to either yourself or the people that you love. So she didn't care. She was a very selfish little girl. She was only 16 and really didn't think too clearly before she ran off with Wickham.
Okay, that brings us about to the halfway point of today's lesson. Let's take a break right now and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要看的是在《傲慢与偏见》小说里面所探讨的几个重要的议题。第一个探讨的就是 marriage, 也就是婚姻。第一段的第二个句子提到 ,In the early 19th century, women were dependent on marriage. 在当时19世纪初的时候女性呢其实是非常依赖婚姻的。我们用 dependent 这个形容词来代表着是依靠或者是依赖的意思。我们可以搭配介系词 on, 举个例子来说They hate being dependent on their parents, 指的就是他们不喜欢依靠父母。另外一个 dependent 常用的还可以解释成为取决于什么的意思。Your pay is dependent on your work experience, 指的就是你的薪资取决于你的工作经验。所以在第一段的后面，既然婚姻很重要，In many cases, this led women to marry men they didn't love, just to ensure financial security and save face. 所以因为呢要依赖婚姻，所以许多的女性呢就导致了他们会跟不爱的男性结婚，只为了要确保经济上的安全，并且保有面子。Ensure 这个动词是有保证、担保的意思。你可以在后面加名词，或者是用 that 来加子句。 我们来举个例子。Our research ensures that we get the best possible results. 指的也就是我们的研究确保我们可以取得最好的结果。第二段他这里谈到的小说另外一个重要的议题是 reputation, 名誉。在第二段第二句子提到 In those days, women were required to be proper and ladylike at all times. 在当时啊，女性被要求呢，一定要举止合宜，而且呢，要像淑女一样 at all times, 无时无刻都要这样子。在这里的形容词 proper 解释成为合乎体统的，所以如果你觉得这件事情是 right and proper， 指的是还是非常合情合理的，所以中间你就可以看到小说里面呢有一些例子可以来述说这样子的情形。第二段的最后一句提到 By openly taking a lover before marriage, Lydia runs the risk of shaming her entire family, not just herself. 还记得 Lydia 小女儿呢跟军官呢私奔还没有结婚，所以在当时的情况之下，如果在结婚之前就公开的结交情人Taking a lover, 那么会使得整个家族蒙羞。在这里我们用 run the risk of, 指的就是冒着什么的危险。所以如果你说 run the risk of losing one's life, 指的就是冒着失去生命的危险咯。而这里的 shame 当作动词解释成为使愧疚使羞愧的意思。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back to our lesson today. We're talking about the different themes in Pride and Prejudice. The first theme we talked about was marriage.Then the other theme was reputation, but perhaps the most important theme of all is love. I guess that is pretty important. If you don't have love in your life, hey, how can you keep on living? Perhaps, maybe, this is the most important theme of all, love. And of course, it's a romantic novel. So of course, you need love to have a romantic novel.
Oh, you sure do.Now, it says here, although the novel deals with several relationships, Darcy's courtship, remember the word courting? Courtship is the noun form of this verb to court. That courtship with Elizabeth takes center stage. Here, deal with actually means it has that particular topic or theme as the subject. A movie can deal with a particular theme. A book can deal with a topic. Maybe you've got... A novel, a TV show. So deal with here doesn't mean you handle something. It means that's what the subject is. So the novel has the subject of these relationships. And the most important one, because we're saying it takes center stage, which means it's the most important part, is where you watch Darcy trying to get to know Elizabeth after he realizes he was rude to her, butOh no, he's falling in love with this girl.
Right, so remember there are all sorts of relationships in this book. Charles and Jane, well, that's kind of boring because basically they fell head over heels for each other at the beginning. But again, the theme here we're talking about, the thing that we're dealing with mostly is the relationship between Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy because there are some conflicts there. They didn't really like each other at first.But later on, they sort of got to know each other a little better, and as a result, they fell in love. So that's why Darcy's courtship of Elizabeth takes center stage, which means it's the main attraction, and things got off to a rocky start, or at least they get off to a rocky start. Rocky, in this sense here, just means it's rough at the beginning. A rocky road, for example, a rough road where things are not going smoothly. So yes, things got off to a rocky start, Yeah, a friend of mine opened up a restaurant in Gongguan, and well, things got off to a rocky start at first. They couldn't get business. They were losing money.
Ooh.
They were going to close the restaurant, but suddenly they started getting business, and things are okay now, but things weren't so great in the beginning. They got off to a rocky start, and that's how we're describing Darcy and Elizabeth's relationship. It didn't begin smoothly. It got smooth later, but at the first, it was full of conflict.
Oh, it sure was. Initially, or at the beginning, is another way we can say that. Darcy's pride in his upbringing and Elizabeth's pride in her good judgment led them to be prejudiced against each other. Your upbringing describes how you were raised, what your parents taught you, your education. You know, it's your view of life. That all is part of your upbringing. And it's really dependent on your family, the community you grew up in, you know, who you hang out with. All of those things go into making up the person that you are. That's your upbringing.
Right. And, of course, they both had pride, a great feeling of pleasure about yourself. You're really proud of yourself. You think you're really great. So he was proud about his background, his upbringing. But Elizabeth was proud about her good judgment. I'm really smart. I know things that he doesn't know. But then he thought that he was just so much better than her. He was from a good background, and so they both had pride that way. And those pride, or the pride that they had, led them to be prejudiced against each other. Hey, that's the theme there, pride and prejudice there. They both have pride, and they both are prejudiced against each other.
So Elizabeth's pride leads her to believe that Darcy is arrogant, whereas his prejudice against people from lower social classes makes him feel she isn't a suitable match. He's from the highest social class there is, and she's not from a low social class, but her social class is a bit lower. Here it says, whereas. This is a conjunction that we use in a sentence when we're trying to compare and contrast two different things. We're comparing Elizabeth's pride. She feels like Darcy's being arrogant because she feels pretty good about herself. She doesn't understand why he's looking down at her family. At the same time, we're looking at his prejudice against people from lower social classes. He just doesn't feel like her family is going to be from a high enough social class to allow him to date her. So he doesn't feel she's a suitable match. So whereas can also mean while on the contrary. You could substitute those words for whereas.
For example, I could say my wife likes Chinese food, whereas my daughter tends to like Western food. So we often have conflicts about where to eat dinner because my daughter wants to have pizza and my wife wants to have dumplings. I can go either way myself. But in any case, yes, we've got pride and prejudice going on here. She thinks that Darcy is arrogant, whereas he thinks she's kind of low life, I guess. She isn't suitable for him. Yet, over the course of the novel, they are drawn together through fate and end up falling in love. So that's what happens here, of course. You set this up at the beginning. They have some problems, but they have to go through various different kinds of situations until they realize that they have maybe too much pride and they're too arrogant about each other. So they gradually get to know each other later, and they are drawn together through fate. And fate could also be expressed as destiny. Fate just describes things that are beyond your control. Fate brought us together, for example. We didn't plan it this way, but it just happened.
Their relationship seems to be Austin's way of saying that, hey, true love is magical. Sometimes you just can't predict it. At the beginning of this book, you would never have thought those two would actually get together. They were really not liking each other at the beginning of the book. Both of them really disliked each other.
Did they say mean things to each other?
She's not very rude, but he was a little bit rude. But she tells him later on what she thinks of him. I love Elizabeth because she's not afraid to tell people what she thinks. And she does have good judgment. But she realizes at the end she was wrong about him. And he realizes he was wrong too. Now, if you overcome something, here we're using overcome to mean we're not going to let something like a problem stop us from doing what we want or getting in the way of succeeding.
So here we're getting, overcoming some sort of obstacle and then going on to succeed. Now, she wants to let this true love overcome social divisions. A division is a separation between groups of people. It can be for lots of different reasons, but it's something that keeps them from getting along or maybe being peaceable with each other, having harmony.
Indeed, these are social divisions, and they overcome them. They start to realize that they're probably being too arrogant, and they start to compromise a little bit, and they start to love each other very much. And so they overcome all these different obstacles, and I guess that sort of implies that this novel has a happy ending. As
yes.
you turn the last page and close the cover, you go, oh, I'm so happy I read that book. Things worked out. There is hope after all.
It's a good book. We hope you get a chance to pick up a copy and read it. Okay, everybody, it's time for our Chinese teacher.
当然，除了前面提到的 marriage 婚姻 reputation 名誉之外，最重要的当然就是 love 爱情咯。在第三段的第二句子提到 although the novel deals with several relationships, Darcy's courtship of Elizabeth takes center stage.虽然谈到了很多段的这种关系，但是 Darcy 呢，他对 Elizabeth 的追求可以说是小说的焦点。不过我们回到前面有个动词片语 deal with， 就是有处理应付的意思。小说探讨怎么样子的议题，我们就可以用 deal with 这个片语。当然咯，我们也常常听到要政府来处理高失业率的问题，我们也可以说 to deal with the problem of high unemployment。 而后面的句子我们接着看，这里提到 initially Darcy's pride in his upbringing and Elizabeth's pride in her good judgment lead them to be prejudiced against each other。其实刚开始呢，这个 Darcy 以自己的好的教养为傲，而 Elizabeth 则觉得自己有良好的判断力，正因如此就导致了他们对彼此都有偏见。我们先来看这个名词 upbringing， 指的是一个人的养育跟教育。举例来说，他把他的成功归因于他所受的良好教养。He owed his success to the good upbringing he had. 而正因此，他们就 to be prejudiced against each other. 这里搭配的对某人有偏见，我们要搭配介系词 against. 接着我们来看到今天文章的最后一句咯。Their relationship seems to be Austen's way of saying that true love is magical and can overcome social divisions and anything else that stands in its way. Darcy 跟 Elizabeth 的关系呢，似乎就是 Austen 在述说真爱是有魔力的，而且可以克服社会差异以及任何的障碍。
It's time to say goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure you join us again another time, or the next time at least, for another edition of our program. For English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.